That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Now, to wrap up the show today, I spoke with Dr. Lara Greaves, a politics lecturer at the University of Auckland, about the Māori electoral role and the Māori seats in Parliament. This was somewhat in response to what John Tamahiri from the Māori Party had been saying about changing the system of the Māori electoral role and initially enrolling all Māori to the Māori role by default. I will just briefly explain the Māori role. If you are Māori, you can choose between the Māori role or the general role when you first enrol to vote. Being on the Māori role means that you vote for your candidate in the Māori electorate you live in rather than the general electorate you live in. There are 7 Māori electorates currently. Māori can change roles during the Māori electoral option, which is only held every 5 years. I was first interested in speaking to Dr. Lara Greaves about how the Māori electorates and seats came to be and what impact they have on Māori participation in elections. Here is Lara.
The Māori electoral roll was established in 1867 as sort of an alternative for the general, or what was called the European roll back then, in order to enfranchise Māori. So we had this situation in Aotearoa where Māori owned land, although, you know, land ownership and those concepts in Mātauranga Māori is something, that's a talk for another day. Basically, Māori owned land on sort of collective title, so they didn't meet the land ownership requirements in order to be able to vote in New Zealand elections, because you had to be a man of 21 and own or lease property of a certain value. So Māori didn't generally meet those criteria, although the odd Māori person did, right? The odd Māori man, which remember it's just men back then. And so basically the Māori seats, these 4 Māori seats were created in order to enfranchise Māori and give Māori the right to vote. And there's lots of sort of explanations and discussion and debate over exactly why they were created. There's this one line of thinking where they're viewed sort of through this colonial romantic lens of, hey, we're enfranchising the Indigenous people, this is a novelty, this is giving them rights, you know, this is sort of forward, lefty, liberal thinking of the sort of 1860s. And then on the other hand, there's this view that they're quite tokenistic because they vastly, like just tens of thousands of people magnitude, underrepresented Māori votes and Māori people. There were 4 seats for 60,000 odd Māori, where there were 70 seats for 170,000 Pākehā. So they're kind of viewed as more of a tokenistic gesture in this point. And even in the Parliament at the time, it was decided that the members of Parliament, the 4 Māori seats, would have to be held by Māori because the South Island MPs threatened to walk out over the idea of there being more North Island electorates held by sort of European members of Parliament. So this was like quite long sort of checkered history of the Māori electorates. For decades, they were kind of viewed as, like one historian kind of talked about them in terms of a careless, if not convenient, neglect. So the Māori electorates were kind of just left to do their own thing, and they were fixed at 4 for many decades. And over that time period, there were a number of disparities. For example, it wasn't until sort of 30 or 40 years later that Māori got the right to a secret ballot rather than just a show of hands. And there were it was decades before Māori got to vote in referendums, got to have a printed electoral roll, and all sorts of sort of administrative issues over time that really created a lot of disparities. And, of course, over this time period, the Labour Party and the Ratana Church formed an alliance, and the Labour Party held those seats for many decades. And that's sort of like a history of the seats and how they've kind of come into being.
How does the Māori electorates and the Māori role impact Māori participation in elections nowadays?
Yeah, so nowadays when you go to vote, enrol to vote, it might be 18, it might be 30. When you go to enrol to vote, you get to choose if you're of Māori descent. So that's defined by the Electoral Act as being a New Zealand Māori or a descendant of a New Zealand Māori. In that case, you get to choose between the Māori role or the general role. And so that's when you initially go to enrol to vote, at whatever age you are, or every 5 years during the Māori electoral option window. So people can switch between roles, but only every 5 years and only in that specified period. And that's been quite controversial. So basically, 52% of Māori descent people are now on the Māori roll, and those people get to vote in one of 7, so again, geographically sorted Māori electorates. They vary in size a lot. Te Tai Tonga is all of the South Island part of Wellington, so some of them are very geographically large. And pretty much, even though since the 1960s the rules sort of changed, the Member of Parliament doesn't have to be Māori, but in practice they often are Māori, and they're more like sort of Like, they know Te Reo Māori normally, they know tikanga, like, they know kind of more about Māori culture than sort of general MPs and even Māori MPs in general seats. And so for Māori, it's that kind of first decision, do you go on the Māori role or general role, and then that decision every 5 years. So the more Māori that are on the Māori role, the more seats that we get. So we're currently sitting at 7. If every single Māori descent person was on the Māori role, we'd have 13 or 14 Māori seats. So that's kind of our first initial decision around participation. In terms of voter turnout, the turnout in the Māori seats tends to be lower than the turnout for Māori that are on the general role or just the general overall turnout. And that's just generally back, going back to that sort of histories of disparities between roles. And then also the situation where for decades and decades and decades, especially under that first-past-the-post system, the only real viable option for Māori on the Māori role was to vote for Labour. And really kind of boring electoral contests don't normally inspire sort of mass participation or excitement. So for a long time there, Māori weren't really voting and still are not voting as a higher rate as Pākehā. And I mean, yeah, there's some really interesting discussions around sort of how the Māori role is shaped to that, but also around the extent to which some people feel like it's assimilation to participate in a colonial system.
Then Lara went on to speak about some of the issues that have been raised with the Māori electoral role.
One real issue that's been raised by the Electoral Commission and has been raised by Māori is that we should be able to switch between roles at least once every 3 year cycle. I think that the National Party's been quite resistant to that, and of course New Zealand First. I think the whole idea would be that they're worried about us then gaming the system and switching between roles. So, like, I mean, I used to give just an example, like if you're in the sort of Helensville electorate, like my mum, and you're on the general role, it's always going to go to National no matter what happens. But Te Tai Tokoro has been, the Māori role electorate has been a lot closer in recent years. So there'd be nothing to stop you from switching to a more close electorate. Or like, you know, if I was sitting here, I mean, Whamaki Makaurau and Auckland Central are both exciting close races. But if I was sitting here, I'd go, okay, I'm going to switch to Auckland Central because I want to vote for Swarbrook or whatever. If people, you know, how people make those decisions, those kind of gamified decisions, I think people are a little bit worried about that. That being said, it's also a bit ridiculous because people switch roles all the time in a way when they move electorates. And I think people need to be able to switch between roles because one of the things that's come up more anecdotally, because we don't really have any good research on this, but anecdotally it's come up for a lot of people that they don't necessarily want to vote outside of their iwi rohe. So like they don't necessarily feel like, you know, if you're say Māori Whātua and you move to Christchurch, you don't really feel like you have any business voting for a representative down there, if that makes sense. So like this whole idea that maybe people should be able to vote, you know, they should be able to actually choose a Māori electorate based on their iwi or hapu memberships rather than
their location,
where they geographically are.
Yeah.
So generally I think people need to be able to switch because like the other thing that we know about people's identity as Māori and people's politics is that their views and their identities shift over time. 5 years is just a very long time.
Yeah, particularly when you think about people's ages as well, I suppose, if you are Māori and you sign up to enrol at 18, like your views could change quite significantly over those five years, or even if you sign up when you're 30, you know, there's a lot of different factors that I suppose play into your life over 5 years.
Yeah, and I've not actually really met very many people that when they were 18 joined the Māori role. And that's like my experience, a lot of the experiences of every, because I keep asking people, oh, what role are you on, why? And I'm yet to really meet anyone that's like, you know, I was 18, I went on the Māori role. Like a lot of people, they kind of, when they're 18, they just kind of go, oh, maybe don't feel Māori enough maybe, or they just don't, or yeah, they don't necessarily know the difference. So we've done a bit of research with the Youth 19 study that's shown that around 30% of the rangatahi Māori don't know the difference between the Māori role and the general role. So it's one of those things where it's like if you have never really heard that much about it, you don't necessarily know what you're signing up for. And that's been especially concerning to a lot of people that I've spoken to, a lot of students and stuff, because they're maybe in my Māori politics class or doing New Zealand politics and they want to be on the Māori role, right, because they just didn't know at the time. So I think that's the kind of issue is that, like, yeah, young people don't necessarily have that basic knowledge about the different role types. And so when they go to enrol, they don't necessarily make the choice that best suits them. Plus people change over time.
So we've talked a little bit about, yeah, moving between the different roles, but I just wanted to ask generally, does the system as it currently stands with the Māori electorates work for Māori?
Mixed on that. Okay, so it's one of those things where, like, there have been notable sort of Indigenous movements that have come up from the Māori seats, the clearest one being the Māori Party, but sort of the Waitangi Tribunal and other sort of things a lot across the years that have led to sort of greater policy gains or regains for Māori, right? So there's been some good that you can measure and see out of the Māori seats over time, right? But then actually a lot of people, including the Māori Party, would argue that we need some kind of other sort of structure there, whether it be a separate House of Parliament for Māori, or whether it be some kind of other system, like a parallel system or something along those lines, where Māori are able to have more say and have kind of be more of a Māori-led system rather than they just happen to be Māori within a colonial-led system. So I think that those are more sort of discussions or debates going forward and around any kind of constitutional reform, which I think we might have probably more of those discussions at some appropriate time after the death of the Queen, appropriate time. Or there's that possibility around sort of people have been talking more and more lately about there being a separate Māori health authority. So as we get those sort of parallel streams kind of mentalities around policies, there's more potential for sort of there to be sort of that by Māori with Māori for Māori stream going within a lot of these structures or alongside it.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to add about, voting the election this year?
I think it's really interesting for us those of us that are on the Māori roll is the Māori Party is going for the candidate vote. And that's where we have that opportunity again to have the sort of independent Māori voice in Parliament. I think no matter what happens to the Māori Party, they've done a really good service to Māori in terms of pushing Labour on things. And I think one of the sort of lessons from the history of the Māori role is having Labour in there not very strongly contested is not necessarily a good thing for Māori. So it's good to have Māori to be able to push the Labour Party to make sure that, you know, this is the system that everyone's in. There's no sort of, I'm not saying any of the Labour Party people are bad or anything along those lines. It's just like having the Māori Party or even if National Act, New Zealand First, whatever, ran in those Māori seats and pushed the Labour Party more. I think that's a positive thing for sort of democracy and the contest of ideas.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.